56, Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and we will read this 13 verses of this psalm, and then we're going to I'm going to share a few thoughts that I had when I read it, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In Thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not written? Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt Thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Now, Father, we thank You again for the Word of God, and I just pray that You'd help me to be a blessing and rightly divide it and show it clearly for what it says and how it applies. Lord, I just pray You'd bless Your people, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that verse says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." Now, when we look at our world today, we see the handwriting on the wall, don't we? Kind of see how things are going, and we see the attitude that people have and the things that they're doing. Everybody's been majorly up at arms of the things that are coming at the World Economic Forum, and everybody's been reporting on it, and they're talking about all the things they're saying there. You got people saying a bunch of crackpot things there. You have some of them even thinking that somehow they're going to be divine, and they're going to make people into gods and all that stuff. And people say all kind of wackadoodle things up there. And most of it is a bunch of rich people who like to rub elbows together, and they think they sound smart, and they think they sound intelligent and everything like that, and they like to hang out with a bunch of people of like mind, and they like to put themselves above everybody and everything like that. And so they have these grand designs and schemes for the world, and some of them may come to pass, and some of them will never see the light of day. But they have all these grand ideas, and there are some that are very insidious that they want. They want to actually, I mean, let's face it, the world, the Bible clearly tells us that the world's going to get to a place of global government, and that's going to be particularly under Antichrist. But there have been people that have been trying to rule the world forever. Hitler wanted to rule the world. The Roman emperors wanted to rule the world. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to rule the world. Belshazzar wanted to rule the world. Hammurabi wanted to rule the world. I can go on and on and on and on. And people have always wanted to rule the world, and people have tried to do different things. And we see the things that they're doing, and they're trying to break down the sovereignty. And, you know, when we see this oftentimes, and when we look at the things that are going on and the people that want to be able to set the policies and everything, you see that they are extremely anti-Christian. I mean, Look at all the stuff they're doing with the children and the way they allow things to do and all the transgender foolishness and wickedness that goes on. And yes, I said transgenderism is wicked. I said that is right because God says it's wicked and that's just how it is. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But they are anti-Christian. So most of the oppression we face is going to be from man, isn't it? And if they have their way, we're going to be persona non grata. We're going to be not welcome. We're already not welcome in a lot of places. They don't want to hear anything about God. You know, they sit there and they exploit children I saw some interviews. This guy was trying to interview, you know, that little girl they trotted out there, that little German girl or Swedish girl, whatever she was, that Greta Thunberg or Thunberg, however you pronounce her name. And she went out there and said, "How dare you," and everything like that. And she, you know, got to be a worldwide celebrity now. And she jets from place to place and speaks on climate change. And she didn't know anything anyway. She's just a kid. She didn't really know anything. But, you know, everybody's supposed to listen to her because she's smarter than everybody else. But they're just using her as a prop. And she's all on it. She's having the time of her life. She's getting all the attention she could ever desire. And I saw that guy trying to interview her and ask her about this. She had this time where she got arrested, supposedly, and she was out on the forefront, you know, for the climate warriors and all that type of stuff. She was on the forefront. She got arrested. It was clear that it was staged. You know, she was sitting there with the policemen and all joking and laughing and everything like that. And then they took the pictures and stuff like that, put all the pictures out and everything. And so it was clearly staged and everything. And somebody's going out there, and this guy's trying to talk to her and about all this stuff and all these things that about this climate stuff and the stage photos and all this type of stuff. And I just sat there shaking my head. And I shook my head and I said, you know, She was sitting there giggling and laughing the whole time he was asking her questions. I said, you know, what they need to do is just ignore her. Because all she is a little kid looking for her attention. She's a teenager. She just wants attention. She's getting it left and right. And then the people who are going up to question her and stuff like that, and they're doing this, they think they're doing some great. The greatest thing they can do is just ignore her. Greta who? Because that's all this is. She's just a kid that's been thrust in the limelight, likes the attention, and you could tell she thought it was funny as all get up. You know? And she thought it was just funny. And I'm not saying she doesn't believe the stuff that she's being fed. She probably does. But you can see right there what she really wants is just she wants to be the center of attention. She just, that's what she wants. And if everybody just ignored her, she did drive her nuts. But the simple fact is, I mean, but a lot of this stuff that goes on, I'm just simply saying you've got all this type of crazy stuff going on. You got the riots in Atlanta where these Antifa people are coming out there and they're tearing things up and doing all this type of stuff. And they're out there, you know, acting like they're the... I saw one of the funniest things I saw was some guy that said this Antifa people came at him and they came up there and he hauled off and punched one right in the nose and that guy went down and then all of a sudden the rest of them just started backing away because he wasn't going to put up with it. And that's really what those folks, I mean, they need to get punched in the nose. I don't mean to be, I'm not espousing violence and everything, but you know, they're going around and they're doing that type of stuff, and it's just but they're doing that because we have a culture that will allow men to oppress. And the devil wants it. The devil uses people as tools of oppression. And it's not new. David was dealing with it from every side. He had his enemies without the kingdom, and he had his enemies within the kingdom. He had his own enemies in his own family. You remember Absalom? Yep. All right, so you look at that, and he's dealing with all of these things. And this particular psalm was a victim of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. So the Philistines had David captive. at this time, and he's dealing with that captivity and that oppression and having to fight for his life. But then in verse 3, he says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Whenever I'm afraid, when something gets there to make me afraid, I'm going to trust in God. Now, you may say, easier said than done, preacher. And it's nearly not that hard to do, to trust in God. You just have to make up your mind to do it. And you've heard me say it again, you know, the Bible says trust in the Lord and do good, right? And that's how we trust, show our trust in God, by continuing forward to do what we're supposed to do, despite what men say or do. But, and it goes to that way, and we say, boy, I can't live right because these people are the way they are, you know? They make me so mad, I lose my temper, I lose my cool. It gets me to say things I shouldn't say or do things I shouldn't do. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. You see, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So that it's possible to be angry and not sin. And that means that regardless of how you feel, you don't get in the flesh and start saying things that are driven by anger. Once again, we say things that are driven by truth. We do what we're supposed to do. You know, even our parents had enough sense to say, Mama and everybody said, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Keep your mouth shut. If you can't speak that which is godly and decent, then you ought to keep your mouth shut. And so it's very easy to do that. But he said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in God. So if you're afraid, you ought to trust the Lord enough to do what continues straight forward in the direction you're going. Man wants to swallow you up. Man wants to stop us and silence us and everything. And what we have to do is we want to trust God and keep talking. Saying the thing that's right. Living the way that's right. Doing the thing that's right. He said, yeah, preacher, you just said that those people need to get punched in the nose. I did. But I didn't say you had to do the punching, did I? I mean, God will turn the devil's crowd on him, on themselves if necessary. And I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm all for self-defense and everything like that. And people have a right to defend themselves. I'm not advocating us going out and starting a war or fighting anything. I'm just simply saying we continue to do what's right. And yeah, if the time comes, you have every right to defend yourself. And that's exactly what this guy did. He had to defend himself. All right? And so he hit him and they backed off. You know, he knocked one of them flat. I mean, he punched that fella and he knocked him flat down. He just dropped. And after that, they were like, "Ooh, we don't want any of this guy. They're going to go find somebody else to oppress." And it may get to that. You may have to defend yourself. I understand that. But defense is defense. Offense should be done God's way. Everything should be done God's way. But I'm just saying, defense is defense. You're defending your life or property. That's one thing. But. You know, we don't have to engage in the war of words. You don't have to be unkind. You don't have to be ugly. You can trust God and do the right thing. And he said, in God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. Isn't that what they do? You say something and they twist it around, right? They rest the words. You know, if you say, all lives matter, you're racist because you didn't say black lives matter. What is that but a resting and twisting of words? It's stupid. But everybody jumps on it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the way they oppress. That's one of the ways they oppress in our political culture, the way it is and the things that they're trying to accomplish. If you don't say it the way I want you to say it, then you're racist or you're this or you're that. You're wicked, you're hateful, you're a bigot or whatever. I said to me, preacher, do you think homosexuals will go to hell? Yes, I do. Well, I don't just think it, I know it. Because God said it. If they don't repent and believe the gospel, they will indeed go to hell. But so will you, by the way. Oh, you hate homosexuals. No, I don't. I didn't say I wanted them to go to hell. Matter of fact, I'll do everything possible I can to keep them out of it. I have the answer. I'll tell them how Jesus can save them. He can change them. He can deliver them from sin. By the way, if He can deliver them from sin, He can deliver you too, by the way. He never stopped delivering. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to understand something. I want you to think about that. They'll twist your words. This is not new, people. It's not new at all. He said, every day they rest my words, all their thoughts against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. And they were literally wanting to kill him. And yes, I know there are people that one day may grab power and want to kill us too. It's happened before. It will happen again. And so they're dealing with that. And I don't know if it's going to happen in our time or not, but maybe our children's, our grandchildren's, maybe tomorrow. We don't know. But he asked the question, he said, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. He says, look, he said, Lord, I just want you to fix this. I want you to deal with this. They're not going to escape by iniquity. God, you judge them rightly, and He will, by the way. He'll do a whole lot better than you and I can do. See, when I say somebody's going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved, I'm not judging them. I'm just telling them what God said. I didn't say it. I'm not the judge of all the earth. I'm just a messenger. You're just a messenger. And they hate the message. And they hate the one who sent the message. And that's the problem. That's why they hate us. And it says, but then in verse 8, it says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So you're going through a tough time and you don't think God's there, but He is. He tellest all your wanderings. Everywhere you go, He knows. Every tear you've cried, He's got it marked down. You know, we got to cry tears in this world. Sometimes we have to cry tears of sorrow, don't we? But I'd rather cry tears for doing right than cry tears for doing wrong. Amen. Because one way or another, you're going to cry some tears. We're going to have sorrows in this world. We're going to have things that are going to happen. But God doesn't turn a blind eye to those things. He knows. Whatever you're going through now, He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows why you're going through it. Remember, once again, there's sometimes, if need be, if there's a need for it, God allows certain things to happen, whatever the case may be. And we live in a time, we live in a history that's not controlled by us, but controlled by Him. And He's the one that allows kings to rise to power or takes them down or whatever the case may be. He's the one that does that. And so when we look at this, but he, as we go through, He knows. He takes note of everything. And He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. That's a different thing. He said, David says, I know that God is for me. And when I cry to Him, He's going to answer me. He's going to do something. He's going to help me. He's going to help me wherever it needs to be. Whether it be to deliver them out of the hand of those people, or whether it be to deliver him through the hand of those people. God can do it. You know? I remember, I believe it was Brother Paul, he was delivered by a wicked man by the name of Sergius Paulus, because he was the judge, and the Jews came up and he said, we don't like what he's preaching. And he said, why in the world are you bringing this to me? He hadn't broken any laws. Get out of here. And the guy wasn't a believer. He's just like, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Get out of here. And those type of things like that, Paul was delivered that way. And then, but there came a time, he said, I'm ready to be offered. He said, I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. Finished my course. It's time and over. He said, God delivered me from the mouth of the lion, but now it's time to be over. And then there's others who had trials of cruel mockings, and they weren't delivered. They could have been delivered if they'd have compromised, but they wanted a better resurrection. The book of Hebrews tells us. God's there for them too, just like He was for us. And read about the people like Thomas Hawke and so many other people I've told you about over the years, Polycarp and different places, believers like that. If you remember those stories I've told you of those that have given their life for the cause of Christ, so many people, the apostles themselves, and we look at all of that. And he says, in man and God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. And Jesus said that we were not to fear them who could destroy the body and afterwards could do nothing. Not to be afraid of them. The worst they can do is kill you, and that's it. They can do no more. You know, I always get tickled of that, and the story of John Rice when some guy come up to him and stuck a gun in his belly and said, I'm going to blow you. He got mad at him for his preaching and said, I'm going to blow your brains out. And he sat there and he always had his glasses down on his nose wherever he went. I guess he had bifocals or whatever he did. And he had his glasses down on his nose. Big old burly man, used to be a football player and all that stuff, and surrendered to preach the gospel. He's the one that started the Sword of the Lord. And John Rice and the guy, according to the story, the guy stuck the gun in his belly and threatened to kill him, and he said, you threatening me with heaven? Yeah. And the guy looked at him and said, what? He said, you threatening me with heaven? He said, you're a nut. And he walked off. Well, he could have just as easy pulled the trigger, right? And there'd have been some pain and possibly death to face, but our ultimate deliverance is to go to heaven, isn't it? And he said, I'm not going to be afraid of man. So, I mean, we look at the world and we look at everything, but there's no reason to spend all your time worrying about it. Just continue doing what's good, doing what's right to the best of your ability. If you have the chance to influence somebody for righteousness' sake, do so. If you have the opportunity to be able to reason with somebody about why what they're doing is not going to work and not right and everything, I'm all for that. But if that's all you care about is whether or not they get to the right political side of the aisle, then, and you don't care about their soul, whether they die and go to hell, and you don't give them the gospel, you know what? You can have a lot of political arguments and discussions with people, and they will be rah, rah, rah in your corner. But then you mention Jesus and the necessity to be saved, and all of a sudden you become their enemy. They don't like you. All the things that you agree with them politically doesn't matter a hill of beans anymore because, you know, you're holier than thou. Well, I'm not. My whole point is I'm not holier than thou. And my point is you're not holier than me. And so if Jesus died for the sins of the world, He died for your sins too. And if you don't trust Him as your Savior, you will stand accountable to God. You will die and go to hell. All I want to tell you is this world and everything we're arguing and fussing about is temporary. But there is an eternity, and you're going to be on one side of it or the other. And Jesus is your only hope of having your sins forgiven and going to heaven. That's it. He's the only one. He's the only one. And so he says, "And God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word, and God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, God, I will render praises unto thee." Thy vows are upon me. Thy vows are upon me. You know what David is saying? Let me put it to you in a more modern term that you may know. And you probably heard this when you got baptized. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. He said, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Your vows are upon me. I belong to you. And so I will praise you. I will, while the world's cussing you, I'll praise you. While the world's blaspheming you, I'll praise you. And when they don't want to hear it, I'll do it anyway. And then he says, and this is the last thing and the last point that I want to make to you. He says this, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." You've delivered my soul from death. You delivered me from hell, from eternal death, from the second death. "Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" What? You delivered me from hell. Why would I think that he won't deliver my feet from falling? Why would I ever think that this Christian life that I am supposed to walk is beyond my reach? Why would I ever think that my natural disposition is stronger than God's grace? Why would I ever get that? Why would I ever say, "I can't do that. I'll never do that"? Look, I'm all for confessing our sins to God. The Bible tells us that in 1 John 1:9. But there's a difference to saying, "Lord, I have failed," and saying to yourself, "I'll never make it," despite what God says. And if he can deliver you from hell, why is it, do you think, he can't deliver you from whatever you're dealing with in this world? From whatever trial, whatever tribulation? Why would we ever think that there's a sin that we'll never be able to get victory over? I wish I could tell you that I never failed God. And I do my best to never be seen to publicly sin. Because as a pastor, I'm supposed to be an example. But I fight the same battles you do every day. But there is one thing that I never ever say, and I never ever say about anything, "I'll just never get the victory over this. This is just the way I am. I can't change. I know what God wants, but I can't go there." I never say that. All I know is that he delivered me from death. So what, if he would deliver me from that, why wouldn't he deliver me, my feet, from falling? Why wouldn't he give me the grace necessary to stand and walk? And I may stumble and I may fall, but by God's grace, I'm just going to keep getting up and trying until the day I draw my last breath. That's the way it should be. And if I get to the day of my death, I hope that people will say, "He didn't quit. He weren't perfect, and he didn't always measure up, but he never quit. He was always striving, trying to get. He always believed that God could deliver him. I don't think there could be any higher praise than that. What about you? Do you think that the God that delivered you from your soul from death, somehow he just doesn't have it in him and doesn't have the wherewithal to give you the victory over whatever sin that you're dealing with, or whatever problem, or whatever, you can't make it. There's no way. And you may say, well, it's not God, but it's me. Well, God was the one that saved you, didn't he? He was the one that gave you all these promises. So you can say it's you all you want to, but what you're really saying is it's God. You're not saying it's you. Because God knew exactly who you were when he saved your soul. What is there about you that God didn't know? What experience did you have before you got saved that God had no... He just said, oh, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have saved her and made all those promises to her or to him. I wouldn't have done that because, I mean, you know, you look at what that had done there. And now it's making me look bad because, you know, I can't... They're just beyond... my ability. God didn't say that. What does he say? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that question is no. If he'll save your soul. And then we live in the world. If you look at what this is, it almost matches. You can see the world that we live in and things that we have to do. But I'm telling you, it's not new. Others have passed this way. You know what? They found out that God's word is true. God's grace is sufficient. And the same one that is able to save our soul is able to help us live right and walk right and do right and win and grow and get past sin. And we can get up and we can go on. And it says over in the book of Jude, and this is where we close this day. Let me get there just before the book of Revelation. I keep going past it. He said, now unto him, verse 24, Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Jude spent all his time warning these people about the different types of dangers they had and the wicked people that were out there that they would have to deal with and the things that they would have to worry about and how they needed to try to get people saved. And he says, you know, some have compassion making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to keep us from falling. And if he can save us from death, he can do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out there. Father, we thank you for everything you've done. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to, no matter how we feel, no matter how discouraged we are, no matter what people say to us, no matter everything, we would look in your word and we would see your promises and say that is true, and I know that God can help me. I just need to learn to trust him properly and lean on him the way I should. I just need to grow up in understanding, and there's a way for me to get past this. There's a way for me to get the victory, and it's in God's word. He's made the promise, and God is true, and let God be true and every man a liar. And if I ever feel like somehow God can't do what he promises, I'm the liar, not him. So Father, help us to just trust in you. What time we're afraid, and Lord, help us to trust in you and not be afraid. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.